Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
This is Reception Perception, the show. Now, James Coe and Matt Harmon.
Listen, the Rodgers saga almost done, okay? But I'm more focused in on the Jets now. And I guess to a lesser degree, the Packers. But the Packers, I don't think really have too many folks that are very interesting from a pass catching perspective. But okay. But Garrett Wilson looks great. And now they add Alan Lazard into the mix. Maybe potentially Eli Moore. I would love for them to keep Elijah Moore there as well. I don't know. What is the contract situation for Corey Davis? I have no idea. Is Lazard the Corey Davis replacement? Is that what we're working with here?
Essentially. And yeah, let's kind of talk about the Lazard thing, because obviously Diana Rossini was the one who reported it, and Rodgers sort of refuted it, although didn't refute it. He just refuted like the word list of demands or whatever, which she didn't use. It was just like other people on the internet aggregated it and stuff like that. And you know, the four players that were on there, three Packers, Mercedes Lewis, Randall Cobb, Alan Lazard, and Odell Beckham. Odell Beckham obviously is the one interesting one.
Yeah,
that part of it I think is a little eye rolling for a lot of people with Rodgers, but specifically on Lazard, the one guy who got done here at this point, I agree. He's basically just a Corey Davis replacement. And for me, I tweeted about this. I literally think actually Corey Davis and Alan Lazard are almost basically the same player from a skill set standpoint, from the way they win on the field. I know Corey Davis is like a former top five pick a billion years ago, and Alan Lazard is an undrafted free agent. But take that out of it. Like, what they do on the field and what they bring to a team is very similar. So if Alan Lazard equals Corey Davis, but Alan Lazard equals getting Aaron Rodgers or helping, you know, bring Aaron Rodgers along and make him comfortable, then Alan Lazard is greater than Corey Davis. If my math holds up there, basically. If my SAT score math holds up there. But basically, what Alan Lazard is, he's not a separator. Like, his reception perception chart would show that to you. He's, you know, there's a lot of red there. He does not get open down the field. He's not a guy who wins really on anything other than like flat routes and slant routes. But neither is Corey Davis. Corey Davis has never been a separator either. You know, you look at his, I shared this with the Jets fan, his 2020 chart from his best season in Tennessee, Corey Davis. A lot of red there. Not a guy who is going to get a lot of separation against man or zone coverage. But what both of these guys bring is they're pretty good contested catch receivers. They bring a lot of size to the table. And they are great blockers. Corey Davis is a great blocking receiver. Alan Lazard, he brings a lot more positional flexibility too, because the Packers, and of course, like, not only do they have Rodgers there in New York now potentially, but there's, you know, Nathaniel Hackett is there. He comes from this system.
Right.
They used Alan Lazard as like a big move tight end at different points. Like, he might be more tight end than like some of the tight ends, and I refuse to chart for reception perception, by the way. Just so like they really make use of him as a blocker. And I know that nobody has enjoyed this recent like pivot for me into wide receiver blocking trutherism. I tweet about, you know, Alan Lazard as a blocker. nobody gives a shit. But it really does matter, okay? And like a guy like Elijah Moore, not going to block. Garrett Wilson, he's too good to be out there like wham blocking on lead plays. And both these guys are small. So I actually think Lazard, you take the Rodgers dramatic stuff out of it, it actually makes a lot of sense from an on-field perspective. It's just basically a one-to-one swap of what Corey Davis brought to this team, because he's probably going to get cut. They can move on from him and save $10 million against the cap. He's basically just going to play that role, and I actually think it's a really good fit, despite the fact that, again, Lazard is probably like at best a number three receiver and is more of – he's going to bring you stuff in the blocking game. But this team's got a great running back and wants to run the ball there with Breece Hall.
Yeah, and I think that's the identity of their coaching staff as well. We'll see how much they let Aaron Rodgers kind of freewheel and do his thing on the offensive side of the football, which I think Robert Saleh would be pretty smart to let him go ahead and go do that. You know, just look, Aaron,
that's
just
why
go
have
do
Hackett
your thing.
Too. Yeah, exactly. That's why Hackett's, you have Hackett and not he's, Matt he's, LaFleur,
he's
a, right? or Mike
exactly.
LaFleur.
He's a nothing. Yeah, he's a nothing. Like he's an absolute nothing. Like, forget it. We saw that in Denver. He's a non-factor. That's fine. Just let Aaron Rodgers cook and let him do his thing. It's all good. Okay, but talk to me about the upside now for somebody like Garrett Wilson. And if I'm crossing my fingers here, if Eli Moore stays with the Jets as well, can you talk about the potential fit there?
Yeah, let's talk first about Garrett Wilson, because, I mean, Garrett Wilson is a guy that I'm in the middle of finishing his reception perception sample right now. As I've said on the podcast, and as we'll talk about with DJ Moore later on, talked about Chris Olave, I think, on the last episode, when these guys get big quarterback upgrades or they get traded, they're instantly going on the site. That's a new feature this year. That's a new thing this year, so that I'm not having a chart like Mecole Hardman and Darius Slayton, because nobody really wants that. You want to know about Garrett Wilson and how he might fit with Aaron Rodgers. But, I mean, Garrett Wilson, dude, he's just such a good player. I'm such a fan of his game. I was a fan of his game as a collegiate player. We know he was one of the best success rate versus zone coverage players among the guys that came into the draft last year. But really, I think what Garrett Wilson showed in his first season in the NFL, another guy that was a little bit position versatile. Remember, there were times where he played as a flanker. There were times he played as like a more of the slot receiver early in the year. And then, you know, by the end of the year, he was kind of that number one X receiver on the outside. But this is a player who can win at all three levels. He's a guy that is actually not that disciplined and refined as a route runner.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. He's just – I shouldn't say he's not disciplined or he's not – some of the, like, little technical nuances with him aren't all the way tightened up. Like a Justin Jefferson coming into the NFL, who is just, or right. a Chris Olave, again, his teammates, a great comparison. Like Olave is, his fundamentals are tight. Like he's got everything down to a T, but Wilson still separates at an incredibly high level. You know, for the rookie report exclusively, he was number one in success rate versus man and press because he's really a freak show. He's so athletic. I mean, he is absolutely unbelievable in that regard. And again, he's not a bad technician or a bad route runner. That's not what I'm saying at all. He's actually a very, very good route runner. I'm just talking about from the fundamental perspectives. He can, that's actually almost encouraging, is that if he gets those fundamentals tightened up, if him and Rodgers get that sort of mind meld going, like he's going to be an unbelievable player. I've said this a lot about him. He is also, in addition to, because I think Elijah Moore, who we're talking about in a second, is also a great route runner, but and also a really good separation player. But Garrett Wilson is not just a great separation player. He's also someone that they trusted to throw into tight coverage. Wasn't always great at it, but they did trust him there. But most importantly, he's fantastic after the catch. Like these quick hitting concepts that are pretty much were already installed last year with Mike LaFleur. And it's going to be a pretty easy transition with Nathaniel Hackett, because it all comes off the same tree there. Those plays with him are incredible. Like Garrett Wilson rarely ever goes down on first contact. I've made the joke a lot that he is what all the Tony bros love about Kadarius Tony from an after the catch perspective, but he can actually run routes. Like he really is that freaky of an athlete, Garrett Wilson. I'm very, very high on him.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, Garrett Wilson was certainly great after the catch. We saw a lot of big play highlights from the former Ohio State Buckeye, who ran a 4.38 40 to give you a little idea of his overall straight line speed. But obviously his horizontal movement, too, I thought was really good. But after the catch, looked really, really great. Okay, let's dive into Eli Moore. To me, I thought this is a guy that would be great as kind of like your second piece. You know, he could play inside, he could play outside a little bit. And he's just an overall, just a high quality player. Like, is he a true 1-1? Nah, I don't think so. But what does Matt Harmon think about potentially Eli Moore staying on this team? And again, being the Robin to Garrett Wilson's Batman.
Elijah Moore, I think from a fantasy perspective, is going to be a little bit tougher because of the roles on this team, but we can talk about that in a second. From a talent perspective, Elijah Moore is really tough, because I think he was an awesome player as a rookie. You know, he's one of these guys that cleared that 75% success rate versus man barometer that, like, those guys all go on to become hits, basically, except Sterling Shepard, who can't stay healthy. But everybody else, it's like everyone who's cleared that bar has been a really good long-term successful NFL pro. Elijah Moore did clear that bar as a rookie, but we know his second year was just such a mess. Again, he's another guy that I'll have a profile up on him on the site by the end of the week for sure. Hopefully by the end of Thursday, as you're listening to this. So I think that he showed last year still a consistent ability to get open on the outside as an inside player as well. You know, they kind of transitioned him more into a slot receiver role the longer that the year went on, right, because they were kind of struggling to figure out what to do with Garrett Wilson, because Garrett Wilson just, like, here's the thing about, like, Elijah Moore and Garrett Wilson is, like, Elijah Moore could still be good, but he's just probably never going to be better than Garrett Wilson, who's just, again, such a freakier player, better after the catch, and still has, again, tighten up those fundamentals, he could really be a great player. I think that Elijah Moore can still be a very good player for this team. I think the question with Elijah Moore is basically, what's his role going to be on this team if he stays on this team? Because I do think there's a non-0% chance, just like you do, that maybe he could end up being part of the package that gets sent back to Green Bay to sort of beef up their receiver core along with some younger guys like Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs. And so that's a kind of a separate conversation. But if he's on this team, I think the biggest question about him from a role perspective is he going to be a slot only player, or is Alan Lazard going to be their big slot? And, like, who's on the field when they go to two receiver sets and they have they've already got two good tight ends. If they bring in Mercedes Lewis, now we're talking about a lot of tight ends here, but is like Alan Lazard going to be the flanker and Garrett Wilson's going to be the X, or is it going to be Elijah Moore outside? And when they go to 11 personnel, they move Alan Lazard closer to the line of scrimmage because they want him to be a big blocking guy. I think that's going to be the biggest question here, but I would still, sitting here right now, expect the target pecking order to go Garrett Wilson, Elijah Moore, Alan Lazard. What has me just like pausing on that last point is, you know, Aaron Rodgers just obviously loves Alan Lazard so much and trusts him down near the goal line. And Lazard has great hands. And even if he's not open, he could throw to him in tight windows because Rodgers is that guy. So I think Elijah Moore is definitely the biggest wild card in this group here. But he's still a player that, based on reception perception and based on his separation ability, a guy that, like, I want to buy low on and bet on bouncing back at some point.
I would love to see him stay for the Jets, but if he doesn't, how ironic would that be? And what an interesting turn of events, because I felt like when he was coming out getting drafted, I was like, the Packers need to draft this guy. They had a clear need. They tried to address that. They bypassed Eli Moore. Then they went and got Amari Rodgers, thinking, we could get 70% of Moore by getting Amari Rodgers. And no, you're not. You know, it's like, come on, man. Like, what? Like, watch this guy play a little bit. This is the guy that would have been an absolute perfect addition to that Green Bay Packers offense, because at the time they would have had Davante Adams, and then you add in Elijah Moore into the mix, and who knows what happens? You know, who knows what happens there? I mean, I tell you this: I think Eli Moore probably would have been happier in Green Bay than he is in New York, because obviously he went, you know, he went off the reservation a little bit this past season. So I don't know. There is that history too, right, between the coaching staff and Elijah Moore, and I think that may play a factor into Green Bay acquiring his services. Which, oh by the way, they could have just done. They could have just drafted him.
Yeah,
they could have just drafted Elijah Moore.
The Packers have a lot of thresholds when it comes to like receivers. Is they're not going to buy into a lot of these smaller players. And Amari Rodgers is like a short guy. He's 5'9", but he's like 212, or at least he was when he came into the NFL. He was like a thick boy. Elijah Moore is 5'10 and was like sub 180 pounds. So that's probably a big reason. Not, and by the way, like maybe they look at Amari Rodgers and be like, see, that's why we don't do the little fellas. We're going for these big receivers. And obviously they've got a lot of success there with Christian Watson, even though he's got some things he needs to tighten up as well. But I do think he would make an interesting go back in that, in the trade there, just cause like the Packers have always wanted to have like a pre-snap this is a big bitching fest between Rodgers and Matt LaFleur originally was, can we get a snap without pre-snap motion? Although I think Elijah Moore would actually be a really good player in that pre-snap motion package. It would be a good fit in that system overall. But again, they're running a similar offense there in New York. It's going to be pretty similar based on what Rodgers just came from. So I think Moore can still fit. And it does sound like a lot of the problems that he had with the coaching staff last year had to do, was directed at like Mike LaFleur, which apparently, he apparently like told him to go F yourself or F you or something on practice one day. But, Elijah Moore, I still have hope for the guy. It's just always really tough in that second season when like the team is on a 5-game win streak or whatever, and you're sounding off about wanting to get traded. Not the best career move long term for him, but that rookie season was fantastic, and I hope he and I do. I still think from an isolation perspective, like when you look at him as a separator, and when you look at the way the guys supported him too in the locker room, like when he caught a touchdown against the Bears, I think they all knew what was going on with why Elijah Moore wasn't having success. But I agree. I still think he could be like his collegiate profile and reception perception showed he could have like Antonio Brown light upside. I still think he could be like that type of player, as someone who could win and separate on the outside against man coverage, despite the smaller frame. I'm not saying he's going to become Antonio Brown, but like that type of player, a smaller guy who could win on the outside. But, if they kind of stick him into a slot only role, it's going to be tough for him to be consistently on the field.